So, first of all, well, what can I say? Congratulations on your team bronze. It
Thank
must be
you. Thank you so much.
the most amazing feeling. How did it actually feel when you got the bronze?
Yeah, it was insane, to be honest. It felt really unreal. I don't think it's even set in until kind of later today. It was, yeah, it was so weird because obviously it's something that I've really worked towards. Sorry, I'm losing my voice a bit after all the screaming yesterday. Yeah, something I've really worked towards over the last couple of years, and I was unsure if I was even going to qualify, and that kind of seemed like a real kind of pipe dream. And then to come away with a medal, it was really just kind of a great summation of our hard work.
Yeah, well, your path to the Olympics has been quite quick. I mean, 2 years really. Bronze medal
Yeah.
in Montreal, then a silver medal in team foiling, or both in 2018. So it's been a pretty rapid accession to the Paralympics GB team. So well done for that.
Yeah, thank you.
Tell me a little bit about the discipline. Oh.
Oh, sorry, can you see me?
Yeah, I can do. Tell me a little bit about the discipline for wheelchair fencing, because I was looking at it yesterday trying to find some sort of clips, and the wheelchairs, they're fixed, aren't they?
Yes, yeah. So the wheelchairs are fixed into the frames, which basically can move apart to kind of create the correct distance between the two fences. And the distance is determined by the fencers putting their sword arm out and touching the elbow of the other fencer, and the shorter fencer basically decides the distance.
So, do you control between you the distances of the wheelchairs? Is that monitored by a judge?
No, so then the distance is then locked into place depending on
Okay,
the
got
arm
it.
length, and then you just basically create distance with your bodies moving forwards and backwards.
And is there any, I mean, when I was watching it yesterday, when Piers got his medal, it was a bit a clip on YouTube
Yeah.
because it wasn't really covered that much on the sport on the television.
Yeah.
And there looks like there's all the movements created from the upper bodies, it's sort of lunging, and is there a little bit of
Yeah.
flexure in the wheelchairs?
So there shouldn't be, although the frame, sometimes the metal of the frame sort of bends as you lunge because there's so much force going through it. But yeah, predominantly all of the force comes through the trunk, and the kind of the core of the body. So yeah, you're really just kind of, going flat back to avoid their lunges, and then kind of throwing out a really fast lunge to kind of try and hit them.
And when you got to the bronze, did that involve all three of you having individual matches?
Yeah, so the way that the team events work in wheelchair fencing is that there's three people to a team, and then you basically fence the three other people once each. So it's basically 3 15 point matches, which basically adds up to 45. And so yeah, it basically the way it works is that you set an order in your team, and depending on kind of the skills of the fencer, and then you fence the other team to 5, then to 10, then to 15, and it goes up by in increments of 5 until you basically hit 45, and then that team wins.
So was it quite a needle match? Was it quite a close run thing?
Yeah, do you know what? It's really, really tough yesterday. So we fenced them earlier on in the day in the pool matches, and it actually went really well. And we fenced them again, and they kind of switched up their tactics a little bit because obviously we have Piers usually finishing for us, so we call that the anchor. And he's, very, very strong, Paralympic champion now, so he's, the strongest. So what they did is actually, rather than putting their best fencer on against him, is that they put their best fencer on second last, which actually meant that they were facing me. The game plan there was basically to try and get as many points on me as possible, so put them in a good position to finish, which was really stressful for me, very, very tough, emotional, psychological, and kind of physical fight. I was able to kind of pull it off at the end, but it was an absolute war of attrition. It was really, really tough, to be honest with you.
And is Epe your, because you've got another team event tomorrow in the foil. Is Epe, are you stronger in
Yeah.
Epe than foil?
No, I'm actually stronger in foil than FA. Predominantly, I feel more as a foilist. However, I'm trying to improve my FA as much as I can. I feel like recently it's improved a lot, but I think I'm still a foilist at heart.
And what's the difference between Epe and foil? It is where you could hit on the body, is that right?
So there's two differences. Is well, the weapons themselves are slightly different, but the target area, as you mentioned, yeah, is slightly different. So you can only hit on the torso in foil, but basically foil is a weapon of convention, which basically means that you have to have the priority in order to hit, which involves starting an action, basically to hit, as opposed to épée when you can hit at any time.
Absolutely. And tell me a little bit about your journey to become a Paralympic athlete, because obviously you've got a very rare syndrome, Clipper-Trenaunay syndrome, which I hadn't heard of.
Yes,
So tell me
sure.
how that came about.
Would you like the long story or the kind of shorter one?
You give me whichever one you want to do, whichever one you feel comfortable with.
Yeah, so it was a really long story, but essentially, like, long story slightly shorter. I basically, yes, I was born with a vein problem that affects my left leg. As you said, it's Clipper-Trenaunay syndrome. And so around the age of 9, I went on crutches and kind of, I very much struggled growing up with a disability. I kind of hated sport growing up, but I never really acknowledged my disability. And so when I actually got to university, I decided that, you know what, I don't want anything to do with my leg anymore. I was kind of sick of the hospital appointments and the operations and the physios and the casting and all that. I kind of wanted to just live a normal life, not be Oliver on crutches anymore, not be that kind of the disabled kid. So I basically just had nothing to do with my leg for a couple of years, and then fast forward a couple of years when I finished university, obviously I had to then deal with the elephant in the room. So I went to the doctors, and he basically said, look, it's your leg's not gotten any better. It's you're still in the same position before. Nothing's worked. You either amputate it or you live with it. Even if you do amputate it, there's a massive risk because of the nature of the syndrome. But you're never gonna walk on it again properly. If whether or not you walk on it with a limp, on crutches for the rest of your life, or you amputate it because of the condition, you'll never be an athlete. You'll never run, walk again normally. So at that point, I kind of, due to the risk of it, I decided to kind of keep my leg and just explore what it meant to, be disabled. I think, I had to kind of face a life now on crutches, life with a disability. I could no longer lie about it and, pretend that it might get better one day. I kind of had to really confront it. And so I kind of started going to the gym and trying to see what I was capable of. And, I think there's so many examples and precedent for, like, an able-bodied person as to, how fast they can run and how much they can squat and what kind of things they can do. But I think growing up with a disability, you're never really taught how to grow up with a disability or what that really means. It's always kind of seen as a very bad thing. And I was just quite keen to understand what that meant for me. Could I do a Spartan race? Could I go to the gym? Could I run it on a track? I didn't know any of these things, so I kind of just started by going to the gym, which was great, went really well. And then I started doing some obstacle course races, at which point I
How
kind of
did
was
you
very
do?
scared.
How did you do? Did you have crutches to do them, or did you do them managing
Yeah,
without
yeah.
your leg?
So essentially, once I would go into the gym quite a lot, I basically wanted something more challenging. So I signed up for an obstacle course race with my best friend, and we just basically went on my crutches. I adapted them slightly, so I could put them on my back, and they had special crutch tips, the rubber, so that they didn't sink into the mud and stuff like that. And so I basically did this race, and at the time I was really scared because I didn't know whether or not it was possible to do one of these races on crutches. And I completed it, which was amazing. And so I kind of dedicated that year after my university to like a self-exploration of fitness and physicality and social media, and kind of just documenting my journey on what was possible with a disability. And so I went to a doctor's again to kind of get my heart checked out, to kind of see what it would, whether it'd be okay, just because I was obviously going from never having done sport before to something quite training quite hard. And he was kind of like, what sport do you do? And I was like, oh, I do these races on my crutches and, through mud and water and stuff. And he was like, oh, that's not really a sport though, is it? And I was like, as much as it really annoyed me, it was kind of true. There was no competitive element to it. You kind of got a medal for showing up. And I was at the point with these races whereby, despite them being quite physically grueling, I knew mentally that I had the kind of fortitude to be able to actually complete them. And so I kind of went home and I Googled, I was sat in a cafe that night, I remember, and I was like Googling like Paralympic sports. And I found wheelchair fencing, and I knew I had about 6 months left of the year that I gave to myself as like a gap year self-exploration. So
So this is after
I
leaving
thought,
Kingston, yeah? You went to
yeah,
cafe,
exactly.
Googled the
Exactly.
sports and came up.
Yeah.
Obviously, you have massive upper body strength because of your walking crutches. And maybe I think, although it's obviously you have a disability without using your, you probably get more upper body strength than most normal people because you have to use your arms on crutches. So the wheelchair thing, to me, looking at you, is very much in your favour, your upper body strength. And looking at matches yesterday, I think it was Piers' match, I was so impressed about the flexibility that you use from your waist up. So your arms, your shoulders, your inner core strength, that seemed to be very apparent, that strength, that core strength there.
Yeah, definitely. Wheelchair fencing. So I wanted to basically just do something that I knew I could be good at, and not knew I could be good at, but try and have the best go at. I didn't want to do it just for fun on the weekend, so I kind of really wanted to throw myself at it. So yeah, I guess that definitely played a part. I was in quite good shape when I went into it. I think, you know, wheelchair fencing, the problem being is that obviously you're sat against an opponent, and it's not as simple as just being strong and being fit. So, you know, my fitness levels are probably some of the best, you know, on the circuit. But the thing is, it's about timing, it's about technique, tactics, and kind of management of the distance. And so, you know, it really is a difficult sport to kind of be good at. And, you know, there are so many people who are really fast and strong, but get beaten by people who have amazing timing, and, you know, it can be vice versa. And so it's, yeah, kind of trying to get the full circle is really, really tough.
So what are the three critical elements? So it's timing, tactics, and obviously mental as well, because obviously they looked at how you fought in the pool matches and therefore rearranged the schedule of who was going to fence against who.
Yeah. So, so I guess fencing, I guess, you know, you could boil it down into, like, you know, physical aspects, you know, your physicality, your sort of like mental preparations, and your, you know, your technique, I'd say, was probably the main things. I think those are the kind of three key aspects. And I think, you know, it's just hard to get them all working together.
Absolutely. And of course, the kit you wear with your amazing Union Jack face mask is so very special. Yeah. Thing, which you were saying.
It's wicked, really, isn't it? Yeah.
It's really wicked. Yeah, it was absolutely incredible. So Sunday, so you have another team event Sunday. And what are your aspirations for Sunday?
Tomorrow, you know, we don't as a team look at outcomes, even with the bronze medal matches. And sorry, even with yesterday when we were looking at, you know, I could see from the pool before we even started that we would beat France. We would hopefully overcome Poland and who was it? Ukraine. Yeah. And then we'd be put into the draw by, you know, Russia, and then we'd find them difficult, and then we'd probably have Ukraine again, and we could do that, and we could go to the bronze medal. And obviously it's very easy looking back and saying that's what happened, and, you know, that was what hopefully was meant to happen. At the time, although you can kind of plot those things out based on the seedings and who's fencing well, and at the time as a team and me personally, I never like to look at the outcome. I think once you look at the outcome and you start thinking about medals and what you're hoping to get, and, you know, the score, and you know, you basically bring yourself out of the moment. And for me, fencing and the sport is very much about being in the moment, and kind of being very present. So I really just don't like to think about the outcome.
Yeah. So your path to the Paralympics is very inspirational for any young person who's got disability. What would you say to any of our Radio Jackie listeners who were born with disabilities or developed disabilities through life? What would you say to them? How to follow the path you've followed?
Yeah, it's a really good question. All I would say is that don't ever let anyone else tell you what you can't do. I'm not saying, I really dislike the phrase of, like, hard work pays off, and, like, you can do anything if you set your mind to it. I don't believe those are true, and I don't believe necessarily hard work does pay off all the time. I've been really fortunate, and I have worked very hard, and, you know, I've managed to do a couple of cool things. But I would say that the one thing that really bothers me is when people tell you what you can't do, based on what they think they know about you or your disability or what you're capable of. I think the only person, you know, maybe it's true that you can't do something, but the only way that you'll know is if you try, and you do it. And then you fail, and that's okay. Just don't be afraid of failure, is another huge thing. I hear so many people that are so afraid to even try something because they're scared of what if I can't do it? Well, it doesn't matter. As far as I'm concerned, I've failed so many times in my life, and I continue to fail almost on a daily basis at so many things. But I'm just not afraid of failing. I'm super happy to fail because it teaches me a lot. I learn so much more from the failures than I do from the wins. So yeah, I would just say don't be afraid of failure as well. That's a huge one.
Oliver, you're not a failure. You're a bronze medalist in the Paralympics GB team 2021. That's an amazing. That's an amazing feat to reach after doing fencing for such a short period of time. And I wish you the very best tomorrow. And if you have got time to come and tell me, have a chat to me tomorrow sometime or next week about the other match, that would be great. But thank you so much.
Yeah, definitely. Radio We'd Jackie. Love to.
And do keep in touch when you get back to the UK. Maybe when restrictions are lifted, you'll come into the studio and meet everybody, because we'd surely love to meet you.
Yeah, absolutely. I would love that. Thank you so much. Really
kind
of you.
That's great. That's cool. Thank you very much. Have a good day, and just keep us for tomorrow. I'm sure you'll do really well.
Thank you so much. See you later.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye.